The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Lord,
at that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. He continued, all things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary, that are carrying heavenly burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Today's gospel is often remembered because of the words, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In the past, these words were often printed on holy cards and images of the Sacred Heart. Now, I have a profound devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But I have to admit that sometimes in the past, when we used words like this, they were misunderstood. Meekness was often associated with timidity and a lack of strength. And perhaps this was because also some of the imagery that was used, some of the styles of painting, were so pretty that they didn't communicate anything about Christ's strength, and they could actually turn people off. Once I was taking a course with a great expert and devotee of devotion to the Sacred Heart, and this professor said in Rome, if you look at a strawberry, and the strawberry makes you think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, then that's a good thought. You're thinking religiously. But if you look at the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and it makes you think of a strawberry, that's bad art. Our Sacred Heart, I think, is very beautiful. And I've had him painted in a way that expresses strength as well as love. Now, if we really looked at the words, we'd find that they mean much more than we think they do. The original root of the word meekness means someone who makes peace, someone who is an ambassador, somebody who can speak to both sides. And humility of heart is much more a strong virtue than we imagine. To be humble means to recognize who we are and that what we have comes from God. But the most important part of today's gospel isn't, in fact, that last part, even though it affects us greatly. It's the first part and the second. The first part because we hear Jesus praying. Now, the Gospels often describe our Lord at prayer, but very rarely do they tell us what he is saying to his Father. We have some of his words from the agony in the garden. They're recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. St. John gives us the high priestly prayer at the Last Supper. But the other instances that you might be able to think of, if you scan your memory, really have to do with our Lord teaching us how to pray. When you pray, pray like this. And Jesus gives us the words of the Our Father. But here we have our Lord speaking to his Father. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to mere infants. Now, the context for this is Jesus has just been rejected in two towns. The scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of the people, the authorities on the Jewish law have said, get out, we don't want you. They are the learned ones. They are the wise and the intelligent. But even though they did this, the simple people, the poor, the ordinary people, listened to Jesus and came out to hear him because they were humble of heart, because they were trusting in God, and so they recognized the truth of what Jesus was saying. Then our Lord goes on, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now there are several things about this that are very extraordinary, very strange, in fact. Jesus is speaking about his relationship with God the Father. But this is perhaps the first time that God is spoken of as being Father. We take it for granted, we call the first person of the Trinity God the Father. But in fact, in the Old Testament, God never calls himself Father. There are two books in which he is compared to a father, Deuteronomy and Sirach. But it is Jesus who is revealing in this very paragraph that God is Father from all eternity. He's the creator of the universe in time. He is the judge of the universe at the end of the world. But he is Father eternally. And Jesus is his eternal Son. And no one knows the Son except the Father. We do not know who Jesus truly is until he tells us. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son. Only the Son can reveal to us the face of God in all its fullness. So in the Old Testament, there is much for us to learn about God, but we do not learn this secret, if you will, until the coming of Jesus, that God is a Father. He is the eternal Father. And Christ is not just a Messiah or a king or a deliverer. He is his eternal Son and the only one who can show us his face, the only one who can reveal the Father to us. Now, we might ask, in today's world, why couldn't God have revealed himself as a mother with a son? Is this simply because of the ancient world and prejudices or patriarchy or any of those other things that we may have heard of or speculated about? Well, the question's worth an answer. And it's such a basic answer, it may be difficult to grasp how important it is. A mother creates her child within her body. The child is a part of her before the child is born. And the child always has a special relationship to the mother and the mother to the child because she has cradled him within her. A father creates outside himself. A human father creates outside of his own body. God creates outside himself. We are not a part of God. Creation is not a part of God. That's the difference. That's why it's more correct to speak of the relationship of God to us and God even to his son Jesus as father to son. And father to adopted sons and daughters, not as mother. So it's not a matter of prejudice. It is rather a matter of theology. What is the relationship between the creature and the Creator? What is the relationship between the first person of the Trinity and the second person of the Trinity? Now, there's far more that I could say than you want to hear on a hot summer's morning. So I have to leave it at that. But I want you to know that that's where the answer lies. It's on that level. It's not on the level of anything else to do with prejudice or patriarchy or society. It has to do with the relationship of God to creation and how we understand that. But Jesus is telling us something very precious. He's not yet speaking about the Holy Spirit. That time will come. He's focusing on his relationship with the Father and telling us the truth. You know that St. Matthew, in the same gospel, a few chapters later, will ask his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And hearing the many different opinions, he then asks, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Peter, because it's not mere flesh and blood that have revealed this to you." And the verb he uses, apokalupto, is the same verb here. No one knows the Son except those whom, no one knows the Father except those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So Christ reveals the face of God to us. He reveals his own face to us. And then he speaks about yokes and burdens. Now, a yoke is a board that's placed over the shoulders of two oxen so that the oxen can have a plow dragged behind them and make a deep furrow in the ground without extra exertion on either one of the animals. The yoke actually evens the load and takes the burden from the animal's backs. Christ uses this image for us to speak about his cross. He takes the yoke on his shoulders when he carries the cross to Calvary to die for us so that we can be saved. And what he is saying here is, if you carry my cross with me, I will carry your crosses throughout your life. I will be with you in all of the difficulties and sorrows and trials of life. To the end of time, I will not leave you alone. And my cross, my yoke, will give you light and truth and wisdom and rest. My yoke is easy and my burden light. That is what Christ promises us. But to appreciate it, as we should, and to be ready to learn from him as we ought, we first have to know who he is. And we have to know who he is as deeply as possible so that we can trust him as completely as possible. And the more we trust him, the more we walk with him, the closer we walk with him in our daily life, and the greater help we have, and the greater success we achieve and accomplish, because Christ is with us. That's the point of the passage of the gospel today. But we mustn't just hear it, nor even just understand it. That's not what our faith is about. Our faith is about living out what we've been given. And we live out what we've been given when we say to the Lord at Mass, "Lord, I do believe, and I do want these things, and I want to do my part in living in your truth, in loving and being loyal to you, so that I can love better my family, so that I can be loyal to those who depend upon me, so that I can be responsible for those who look to me, and so I can extend my life and my love beyond the first circle of my family, into the second circle of friends and co-workers and neighbors and the world beyond. That's how Christ asks of us to live. That's how what he shows us by his life on earth, and he promises that this will make us safe for eternity and happy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.